The Bulletin. Right, the Bulletin this morning, and we welcome in very popular Alex Chapman to the ranks this morning as our guest. And Chappie, good morning to you. Where should Test cricket be played in Auckland, please?
Smithy, good morning. Not sure who I'm popular with, but I'll take that. I think it has to be the home of cricket, doesn't it? It has to be Cornwall Park. Like, there's no other alternative. It has to be, you know, everyone knows that is the home of cricket, not only in Auckland but in New Zealand, so it just makes sense.
I just lost $5. I said not even you would put forward Cornwall. Good God.
Cornwall Park. He knows me too well. He knows me too well.
That would have more contingencies and acts and heritage over that ground than Lyttelton Harbour by 10 times, I would think.
Look, as a paying member of the Cornwall Cricket Club, I've nothing but praise for the Cornwall Park Trust and all that they do for our club.
So, okay. Chappie's been celebrating for 3 days. He won Div 3 or something, didn't you, Chappie? How'd you go? You didn't know how to use a champagne bottle, so that the first time you won something in a while, obviously.
Champagne got a bit too excited, and I got a bit too excited holding the champagne. Going back to your original question, Smithy, because we don't need to talk about me winning third grade cricket, although shout out to our Cornwall Reserve men for winning 3 titles this year in one day, 2 day, and T20. First team to ever do that, by the way. I think it's actually ridiculous, right? Like, it's ridiculous that New Zealand's largest city doesn't have Test cricket, and it's ridiculous that there hasn't been a Test in the city since 2018. And coincidentally, on this day, Lou, you and I were actually at Eden Park for that day night Test against England, which was the last time there was Test cricket in the city. So, it baffles me. I honestly don't care where in Auckland it is. I think we just need Test cricket in the city. Whether that is, actually, no, I take back what I said. I don't think it should be at Cornwall Maiden Park. That's too much of a, that's too tough to get to. It needs to be a relatively convenient place to get to, somewhere like a Western Springs or, Cornwall Park, if you want to put it there. But it just needs to be Test cricket in the city. It blows my mind.
It does. It blows a lot of people's minds as well, judging by our text line this morning. How about the Domain? Now, Craig Presland, former cricketer, a well-known cricketer as well, and a very damn good cricketer, Craig has wanted to consider the possibility of the Auckland Domain, which is a bit of a, I think it's a fantastic idea in terms of how you could develop it. But it's, I mean, what do they do? What do they use it for these days?
They use it for club cricket, and there's a lot of artificial pitches there. So it's kind of, it's a lot of social stuff. It's like business cricket during the week or last man stands. That gets used quite a bit. It's actually around the corner from the flat that Louie and I used to share. And it's like, it's beautiful. It's such a lovely place. I'm not sure with the roads kind of surrounding it, how they'd do that logistically, but man, there's way smarter people than me to do that. I know that that Victoria Park's been floated as an idea. Again, the accessibility around parking and public transport, I think, would be the tricky thing with Vic Park. And I think that's why Western Springs often kind of comes back to discussion points, is there are options around Western Springs in terms of parking. Like, even just playing club cricket at Vic Park is tricky to do in terms of finding a car park on a Saturday morning. But, yeah, going back to what I said before, it just needs to happen, right? It just needs to bloody happen. And whether that's a waterfront stadium as well, like, kind of just spitballing here, but all of these options have been floated out. I think that it's just about time that they decide on what it is.
Would you travel to North Harbour Stadium to watch Test cricket if you lived south of the bridge? Would people do that?
No. Why? Well, I personally wouldn't do that. Again, tricky to get to. Even just like to go watch a game of rugby or a game of football, it's a pain to get to. And I know there's discussions around the future of North Harbour Stadium at the moment and where that lies. And I think the fact that Auckland FC, the new football team up here, aren't going to be at North Harbour Stadium and are choosing to go to Mount Smart rather than there probably says it all. It's just a tricky venue to get to be honest. It's not great parking. The getting off the main highway is a pain in the, you know what? Yeah, not for me, to be honest. I think it needs to be central, Smithy. And you look at all the great sporting cities around the world. You look at Melbourne, you look at London, You look at New York, like the no, actually good. Like the accessibility to stadiums, you can't throw Christchurch in there, mate. Come on, yeah, it's relatively central.
Oh, I'm not really kidding. Like when Takaha's finished, they're gonna have Hagley, Takaha. You know, just down stone's throw from each other. And the of course, the natural amphitheatre of Lyttelton Harbour for the 2037 Dolphin
Exhibition.
Dolphin, yeah. Mile. We'll call it the Dolphin Mile, where we can finally put bibs on them and watch them go around, because greyhound racing's being banned, according to Luxo. Anyway, hey, Chappy, just you mentioned Auckland FC. Where do you think they're going to fit in Auckland's pecking order of sports? Like the Blues are on the precipice of potentially being quite good. The Warriors are very good. The Breakers are, you know, they've got their fan base and they do a good job for what they do. Where's Auckland FC going to slot in from what impact you've seen as they've come into the market?
I actually have found it fascinating how many people I've spoken to, both Aucklanders and those who live in Auckland, as, you know, Cantabs, for example, who are already on board with Auckland FC. And a big reason for that is because, and you'll find this, because just like me, Louis, you're sick in the head, how triggered some Wellington Phoenix fans have got about this team already, despite the fact that the ball hasn't even been kicked. Like, this rivalry between these two clubs that has already started is something which we just don't have in the New Zealand sporting landscape anymore. Like, there isn't that. You go back 20-plus years, it was Auckland and Canterbury, but there's just not that passion behind it anymore. And I think the way that Auckland FC have already started to do this, with the alleged paying of potentially someone running on the field in an Auckland FC jersey, which you can't even buy publicly yet, and the social media stuff from the Wellington Phoenix, the launching of the petition for North of Wellington, like this is the sort of rivalry that I think we need in New Zealand sport, that for non-Wellingtonians, for those who don't really watch the Wellington Phoenix or who don't engage in the A-League, for Auckland FC to be in the discussion already, as I say, despite a ball not even being kicked yet, this could actually be quite exciting. But I know guys who aren't even football fans that have registered to be members already. And I think that's impressive. That's potentially unprecedented.
Smart signing too, Chappy. Danny, hey, if you want credibility, you've got to put names that people trust and are confident in. Danny Hay's a big one.
Yeah, big time, man. And you look at the support that Danny Hay had from the likes of Chris Wood and Winston Reid when his contract was up, whether that was that last year or year before, that the public push that there were from such credible, popular names like those two, you know, two of probably three or four of our greatest ever All Whites, to come out and publicly support Danny Hay like that. He is so popular with players, and he's so popular as a result of that with New Zealand football fans. I think that's such a smart move for a team that, you know, Steve Corica, the head coach, isn't as well known with New Zealand football fans. You throw in a well-known identity like Danny Hay, you're going to get public support straight away.
You are. You'll get buy-in there. Do we dare, when I say we, it's not me, do you dare to dream as a Blues fan this year now?
I'm an unbiased journalist, is what I just told Brian, and I got told off for that. If we're to go based on their first five games, no, I don't think the Blues will win Super Rugby this year. Their best performance was probably last weekend against the Crusaders, and even then, and you know, this doesn't really get said often, but you beat the Crusaders by 20 points, and I don't think it was really a complete performance from the Blues, and you're yet to really have one of those. And having said that, I don't think any team has really had a complete performance, and you talk about firing Wellingtonians up. I don't actually think that the Hurricanes are the team to beat. Ironically, the team to beat has actually already been beaten, and it's the Chiefs. I think they're the benchmark. They're last year's runners-up, and the team that beat them in the final are now sitting dead last, and they play them this weekend. So, you know, with all due respect to someone like Brett Cameron, I'm not sure if he's a Super Rugby winning first five. And I think you need a genuine world-class first five to win Super Rugby. But if you think about history, and a genuine question, Smithy, when was the last time a team without a top echelon first five won Super Rugby? But I can't remember the last time that happened, to be honest.
Okay. Well, we'll just wait and see. So you're saying that Damien McKenzie... Damien McKenzie, if fit, and I put if fit there, if fit out this weekend, rested in inverted commas. I don't believe that for a second. We've got him being rested, and you believe if the next cab off the rank, then we can put Perifetta in that bracket yet?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay.
But I think the gap between Damien McKenzie and the next first five in this country is, you know, who is it, right? Like, that's the genuine question at the moment, is who's the second best first five in this country? Because Damien McKenzie's shown that he is, which I'll put my hand up and say I've been a little bit surprised about that. But he's been really impressive through these first 5 weeks.
What about Patchell? I just got a text through. What about Reece Patchell?
Yeah, Kiwis. Talking about Kiwis here. But come on, is Reece Patchell going to lead you to a Super Rugby title? Come on, man. Right.
I think he could if he was in the right franchise. I think if he was in the right franchise. Yeah, I think. I'm not writing off Brett Cameron. Fergus Burke, of course, he'll be playing for Scotland in a year or two. He'll be signed for Scotland. having just debuted on his way through Saracens to Scotland. There's no doubt about that. Chappie, always fun having a chat with you. You like me, will be very sad to see Louis go, eh?
I mean, I haven't really seen him for the last year. still talk to him every day. So, look, I said all I needed to say after I'd had a couple of beverages on Twitter the other night about Lou. He's an incredibly hardworking human being, and I think you at ECNZ have been very...
People thought I paid him
for the period of time.
Smithy.
I know.
It was totally out of character. It was totally out of character. Diabolical. Anyway, all right, we'll move on. See you, Chappie.
Very good.
Chappie.
All right.
Have a terrific day. Thanks, boy. Thanks for your time. Alex Chapman there on The Bulletin.